Today we're in 2 Peter, still chapter 1. Today I'm going to wrap up first chapter. We're looking at a lot of verses, and I'm just going to kind of walk through them today. Verses 12 to 21. I have noticed something as I get older. Now, I don't think I'm old yet, but I'm getting older, and this is what I've learned. The older we get, the more we know about forgetting. How many have learned that you know a lot about forgetting now? Yeah, it comes. In fact, in the passage this morning that we're looking at, Peter takes some time in his letter actually to remind believers of essential truths. Truths of the faith that we must not forget no matter how old we do get. Church, we have to stay true to the truth. Amen? Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. Let's start there. So I will always remind you of these things. That's what Peter says. What things is he talking about? Well, if I kind of back up, it was about faith. You need to have faith. You need to grow in your faith. You need to keep eternity in view and your heaven perspective right. And then Peter says, I'll keep reminding you even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have. Peter's saying, I know you know it right now, but I'm going to keep reminding you as long as I can. And so, church, that is why, even though some weeks we may come here and you say, well, I know that. I know what he's talking about. Well, I want you to know you and I still need reminders along the way. Amen? Peter goes on in verse 13. I think it is right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body, because I know that I will soon put it aside, as our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. And I will make every effort to see that after my departure, you will always be able to remember these things. And one of the ways is he wrote it down, and God preserved it for us today. Heavenly Father, thank you for preserving your word. Lord, thank you for these reminders today. And Lord, not just as a reminder of what we think we should know, but Lord, that we would walk it out. And Lord, we thank you that you are growing us and that you're working in our lives. And we give you thanks for that in Jesus' name. Amen. It's kind of a sad reality of life that we often forget what we ought to remember. And, of course, we remember what we would like to forget. Anybody see the want that? You can begin to think about some of the great events that have happened in your life. It was maybe, how many have ever seen a beautiful view? I mean, it was like, wow. Maybe you remember events like your wedding day or maybe the birth of a child. But amazingly, a short period of time, we forget things like everybody that was involved. We had 6 kids born. I was there for every one of them. I have no idea who was in the room besides me and my wife and the baby that was born. You know, the details begin to kind of fade and go away. And that forgetting happens. In fact, I believe it happens faster for men than it does for women. It does. Women, you have been blessed with incredible memory, and I commend you for that. On the other hand, though, there are regrets and disappointments and sorrows that happen in life, and those things I can recall more vividly than I can care to remember, right? Things I should not have said, things I shouldn't have done, failures in my walk with God. And we go, how can we balance the two, what I really want to forget and what I want to remember? Peter really understands our human nature here. He knows how important it is to rehearse the truths of the faith in our mind, excuse me, so we don't forget. And so Peter writes a letter to the church, making an effort to remind them and us of the truth. and hoping, I'm going to have my my little drink. Thank you. Hoping that we will remember that truth that he's writing long after he's gone. In fact, verse 13 and 14. He says, I think it's right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body, because I know that I'll soon put it aside, as our Lord Jesus made clear to me. It's here that Peter's referring back to a conversation, if you remember, that he had with Jesus. Peter knew his time on earth was important, but it was going to be shortened. And he doesn't want to miss this opportunity once again to share what he's sharing. In fact, in verse 15, he goes, oh, so I will work hard to make sure you always remember these things after I am gone. So Peter's writing them down, leaving us some guidance. My apologies online and here. And I'm probably going to use somebody to read my scripture here as we go. I thought I was doing good. I saved it during worship. Anyway, but Peter leaves several things to remind us in this letter, reminding us that our relationship, first of all, with God, the grace that he's given us is more than any effort we could ever put into this thing. It's the grace of God. Also, that we are called to be people who are not just merely talk about our walk with Christ, but actually show our faith by developing godly traits and habits in our life that reflect Jesus. And Peter reminds us also, as I said earlier, keep your focus on eternity. Again, now Peter's going to remind us this. Put your faith in God's word. Everybody say that. Faith in God's word. You've got to keep your faith there. Sweetheart, would you come up? We got a mic here. I'm going to have you help me read some scripture, and maybe it'll save a little bit here. Peter says this in verse 16 through 18.
For we did not follow cleverly devised stories when we told you about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in power. But we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Yeah. He received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory, saying, this is my son, whom I love. With him, I am well pleased. We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain.
The first thing Peter really wants to remind us is that our faith is historically based. Church, Christianity is historically based. It's history. It's about real events and real people. Peter himself is giving personal testimony about what he saw and what he heard. In the passage, Peter highlights what is we know as the transfiguration of Christ. It was a time when Jesus took Peter, James, and John, do you remember this, up on the mountain? And we read about it. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all record it. But while they were there, something incredible happened. Jesus was changed. Transfigured, it said, became radiant like the sun. Luke records it this way in Luke 9:29.
And as he was praying, the appearance of his face was transformed, and his clothes became dazzling white.
I'm not sure what happened, but Jesus' face was changed. I'm not sure what that exactly means. His clothes become this dazzling white. Jesus then begins to talk with two guys who had been dead for hundreds of years. I mean, this is phenomenal. Moses and Elijah, the disciples, heard them talking about, listen, the upcoming death of Christ. Here it is in verse 30 and 31.
Suddenly, two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared and began talking with Jesus. They were glorious to see.
Pause for, listen to that. Did you catch that? Say that again.
They were glorious to see.
There's something is going on that's phenomenal, and Peter was there.
And they were speaking about his exodus from this world, which was about to be fulfilled in Jerusalem.
So Jesus is about to exit the world, and that's what they're talking about. And Peter gets all excited about this, wants to build tabernacles and make memorials for them. But about that time, a shadow or a cloud began to overshadow them, and they heard a voice from the cloud. In Luke 9:35, it says,
"Then a voice from the cloud said, 'This is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him.'"
Peter was there. He saw the glory of Christ, heard the testimony. He's recounting this and saying, "I was there. I know who he is." In fact, the Bible is filled with eyewitness testimony. Listen to Paul as he writes to the church in Corinth, and he says this in 1 Corinthians 15:3 through 8.
"I passed on to you what was most important, and what had also been passed on to me."
So here it is. What is most important? Let's hear it. Here it is.
"Christ died for our sins, just as the scriptures said."
Don't miss that part, because I'm going to come back to that. "Just as the scripture says.
He was buried, and he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the scriptures said. He was seen by Peter."
Who was he seen by?
Peter.
Okay, so we got Peter there.
"And then by the 12. After that, he was seen by more than 500 of his followers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he was seen by James, and later by all the apostles. Last of all, as though I had been born at the wrong time, I also saw him."
Paul is like, "Listen, don't just take my word for it. I want you to go talk to those who also saw him." That's basically where Peter's coming out. Check it out for yourself. Peter's trying to help us see and remember that Jesus is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. And our faith in Jesus, this biblical system of faith in the Bible, by the way, is in contrast with every other religion. All other religions are based on a system of thought and ideas and visions that came from one person. Islam is based on the Quran, which was by one man named Muhammad. And if you go and really study it, by the way, he never wrote it down. He just orally shared it, and others tried to remember what he said, and that's what they came up with. Also, if you look at Mormonism, it's anchored to a vision of golden tablets. I want you to really hear this, that Joseph Smith had. You know that. Here's what he said. An angel came to him named Moroni, visited him, said, "Here's these sacred texts that were written about the 4th century. This is what the angel tells him. And it was supposed to be a spiritual book containing information about ancient people who inhabited the Americas. I'm like, what about God? Christian Science, based on the teaching and philosophy of Mary Baker Eddy. Scientology, it springs from science fiction and fantasy stories that were written by Ronald Hubbard. And there is even a belief system out there based on a book called Urantia, which supposedly was delivered by aliens. None of those religions, none of those beliefs, none of those thoughts actually have factual history to back them up like Christianity has. Christianity is anchored to verifiable truth. That's a tough word for me to say. Things like this. Jesus really lived and was born of a virgin. Amen? He actually performed miracles. No, and Pastor Chuck brought out this morning in our early conversation, there's no other religion that performs miracles. He showed power over nature. He raised the dead. He really did die in the way the Bible declares. He really rose from the dead. People actually talked to him for 40 days after he rose from the dead. People saw him going to heaven. People saw and experienced also the infilling of the Holy Spirit that he said would come after he went. And to this day, the gospel of Jesus Christ is still changing lives. Church, we cannot explain Christianity apart from the historical reality because it's based in history. And of course, Peter's not finished. Listen to verse 19 where he says this.
We also have the prophetic message as something completely reliable, and you will do well to pay attention to it as to a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts.
One of the most incredible things we have, and we still have today, is the prophetic or prophecy from the Old Testament. The prediction that Jesus would come, and it happened hundreds of years before any of the events surrounding Jesus' life took place. At Christmas, we remember the prophetic passages that point to Jesus' birth. Good Friday, we recall the prophecies that foretell the death and the sacrifice of Jesus for our sin. And then, she's about to read the prophecies that actually point to the day of Pentecost. Listen to Joel 2.
Verse 28 says, "And afterwards, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days."
And that was a prophecy that happened on the day of Pentecost. And church, we want that to continue to happen in our lives, that God would pour out his spirit on us today. Amen. There are prophecies that are yet to be fulfilled. Some found in Daniel, Ezekiel. There's others. And understand, Peter now is writing to the church. And the reason he's writing to the church, because there were people beginning to make fun of the proclamation that Jesus was going to come back. In fact, we're going to be dealing with this in the rest of the rest of the letter. I mean, we are just a few decades after Jesus ascended, and people are beginning to say it was all a hoax. Or say, oh, it really didn't happen. And now Peter is writing and giving a simple response, saying you need to remember who Jesus was and what he did. By the way, I saw it myself. And you need to also remember the Old Testament prophecy. It has been fulfilled with accuracy. Peter's saying, I'm telling you, it's all true. And if you begin to question your faith, just remember the truth of God's word. The Old Testament prophecies, the New Testament eyewitnesses that tell them what Jesus said, what he did, and how the church started, and how the Holy Spirit all of a sudden wanted to infuse the church in our everyday thinking and living. And then Peter tells us one additional thing in verse 20 and 21.
Above all.
I need everybody to say that again, that first two words.
Above all.
Yeah.
You must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. For prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Let's say that together. Holy Spirit.
Yeah, above all. One of the things you have to understand is he's saying, okay, wait a minute. We're believing all this stuff, but you need to understand how it was given. Because if you don't understand that, then other people will begin to try to change your thinking. Once again, Christianity and faith is anchored to God's word, God's revelation to us. I believe that Peter here is referring to the authorship of God's word, who authored it. You need to understand, he's saying, we didn't dream this stuff up. The people who wrote the scripture were being led by the Holy Spirit. They're being led by God's Spirit as they begin to pen those words. Peter says the authors of scriptures, as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. The word picture in the phrase he uses here is that of a sailboat being carried along by wind. The Holy Spirit led the authors to write what they wrote and what was being taught. He worked through the individual personalities. He worked through their styles, through their vocabularies, but led them to write the true, eternal, unchanging truth of God. The sailboat can only go where the wind blows it. It's the wind that carries it, but the sailboat actually moves. And that's what he's saying. These writers and all of their nuances, the Holy Spirit used all that to write the word. Paul says this in Scripture in 2 Timothy 3.
All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work.
Amen. The Word of God is good for us. And Peter's reminded us, like Paul reminds us, to help us understand the value of God's Word to us. And God's Word is true, church. What the Bible says is true. Bottom line, the salvation that the Bible proclaims is real. The behavior the Bible teaches us and prescribes for us is right, and it's the best thing for our lives. And the future events that the Bible declares are certain. Let me close with some quick principles we can take away. First of all, since the Bible is the Word of God, we should read the Bible reverently and attentively. The Bible explains the meaning of life to us, and I think we ought to give our attention to it. It is God speaking to you. And when we open the Bible, we should also open our hearts and our minds to its instruction. God will teach us about ourselves. He'll teach us about his love for us. He'll help us recognize and know that we can trust God. We can follow him. He'll give us strength for the hard times, guidance in confusing moments of our lives. It shows us how to get the most out of life. And in fact, even introduces us to the glories of heaven one day. Amen? So I would tell you, read the Bible every day. Read systematically. That's why we're walking through the books that we've been walking through systematically. I love a scripture, but put it in the context of what it's saying and teaching so you can see the big picture. That's what you need to see, is what God's doing. Then read prayerfully. Always read, going, God, let it touch my heart. Now, a lot of people may not like what the Bible teaches. They may not embrace the facts of history that are written in God's Word. But I want you to know that does not change any of the facts or the authority of God's Word. And if you will remember that, you won't be unsettled by the critics of God's Word. You also won't be fooled by false teachers when they come along. Why? Because you know the truth. You put your faith in God's Word. And one day we're going to stand before God, and we're going to be grateful that we did put our faith in God's Word. Amen? Amen. As we close today, and I apologize for my voice to those online and the recording, all of that, but thank you for bearing through. I just trust, listen, it's not about me. It was about the Holy Spirit just speaking to you today. But I just want you to know, we build our foundation on the Word of God. And I do not make any apologies for that. And as we're walking through this particular book right now, I need you to do more than just show up on Sunday. I need you to be studiers of God's Word. And I need you to engage yourself with the Word of God. I need you to know His Word. And as we study together, because what we're about to get into that Peter's bringing up is very prevalent today. There are a lot of false teachers out there. And I get caught between trying to expose it all and just saying, okay, God, what are we supposed to do? And I just want to keep bringing you back to truth. That's what I've got to get. Because if we get into all the explanations of all the things that they're trying to, these false teachers are trying to do, I really don't know exactly where they're coming from. All I know is what's truth. And truth is what we've got to stand on. Amen? Amen. Would you bow your heads for just a moment? If you have not accepted Christ as your Savior, I just want to give you that opportunity today, because we want to put our faith in what Jesus did for us. He is the Son of God. He did come. He died. He gave his life for you. And many in this room have made that decision, if not all of us in the room today. Maybe you're online and you're saying, I've never really accepted Jesus. Well, today you can do that. And in fact, I'll just ask in the room, if there's anyone, you slip your hand up, say, I want to accept Christ today or rededicate my life. Is there anybody in the room? I'm just looking. But I just want to pray with us all today, online and all together. Heavenly Father, I pray if there's anyone listening and they've not made that decision, that today they'll say, Lord, come into my life. Be the Lord of my life. Forgive me of my sins. And Lord, I want to live for you. And I want to honor you with my life. Teach me the truth, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So church, I encourage you, read God's word. And a lot of people get like, how do I do that? Where do I start? How much do I read? I would just start somewhere and just, I'm telling you, the more you get into it, your heart will just want to grow to read more. But don't try to sit down maybe for an hour if it's your first time. It'll be overwhelming. But take a scripture and say, God, what does that speak to my life? And let the Holy Spirit just keep working in you. Amen? Amen. Pastor Chuck, you got a mic for him? Would you close us in prayer? Amen.
Let's bow our hearts in a word of prayer before we leave the sanctuary of the Lord. Amen. Father, we just give you thanks, Lord, for the word that we've heard today. We thank you, Lord, right now, God, that we're going to take that and we're going to consume that, Lord, in our hearts and our souls and our spirits, that we would feast upon this word, Lord, for days and weeks to come. God, we ask you to shelter and put a hedge around everyone that is here this morning, Lord, and supply the needs according to your riches and glory. If there's healing needed, Lord, I pray that healing will come this week, Lord, and touch the lives of those, Lord, that are in situations that you need to take a hold of. And so, Father, as we go from this place, we are rejoicing in you because today, Lord, we felt your presence. And, God, we've heard the word and we've lifted our hands in song. And, God, we just give you thanks for everything that you've done for us this morning. And we pray that in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Would anybody say amen with the pastor this morning? Amen. 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 God bless you.
Have a Jesus-filled week without coughing. All right. God bless you.